A couple of things to draw your attention to. One, on the baptism picture, you might notice that there are two Ryans. Very strange. Why were there two Ryans? Don't know. And also want to draw your attention to the fact that Charlotte said, if you have any questions, she will answer them all. So, that could be quite relevant, actually, because this is quite a... I would say it's probably one of the more difficult topics that I've had to speak on and prepare and think around. So I want to do a few things before we get kicked off this morning. First is to say that if you're new here, we're in a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are booklets at the back which chart through all of the gifts of the Spirit. There are places to make notes. There are a series of questions that you want to work through as well, which will help you ascertain what your gifts are, because everybody has them. We know that by now. If you're sitting in this room this morning, you've been given something by the Holy Spirit to use for the common good of everybody in this church. And so you do not get to rule yourself out. All have spiritual gifts. And so the booklets are at the back if you want to grab those and work through those in your own time or with your Connect group as well. I wonder if this morning you have ever said phrases such as this, miracles will never cease, or wonders will never cease. Now maybe it's usually because somebody's done the dishes without being asked in your house. Maybe it's the fact that you've waited for a glider and it came on time. Maybe if you're a Leeds fan, we've actually won a game of football. And you're like, you know, miracles will never cease. You know, wonders will never cease. Interesting, yesterday in our house, miracles were referred to twice. One is through the use of something called the barkeeper's friend. I don't know if any of you, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Hands up if you've got a barkeeper's friend. Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it, DJ? The barkeeper's friend, if you have a kitchen surface that needs cleaned, you really can't get it off. The barkeeper's friend will clean everything. So Reuben was cooking yesterday. He left a big dirty ring mark on the kitchen surface. Out came the barkeeper's friend. And as he was pouring it and wiping, he goes, this is a miracle worker. It's like really interesting timing, because today we're going to talk about the spiritual gift of not just healing or gifts of healing, but also the gift of working miracles or the gift of the miraculous. Just as well, before we dive into that, what Charlotte did earlier on in giving a specific word about someone with a ponytail, with a rock in their heart, we believe here at CFC is a gift of the Spirit in operation through Charlotte, and she brought a word of knowledge, a gift of the word of knowledge to the room. And so if that is applying to you this morning, if you are that person, then please come and speak to Charlotte, and she'll pray into that more for you. I'll tell a story about specific things like that a little bit later on, but let's dive in. At CFC, and part of the wider charismatic church, we believe that miracles and wonders actually have not ceased. It's not just a phrase you say, oh, miracles never cease, or oh, wonders never cease. We actually believe that miracles and wonders have not ceased. In fact, we believe that none of the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased, and all are in operation and available for today. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, as we've been reading these last few weeks, in chapter 12, this. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And this is what we focus on this morning. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another, the workings of miracles. Scripturally, we read in Acts of these gifts in operation. These gifts of healing can be seen in the lame man being healed in Acts chapter 3. The gifts of healing seen in Jerusalem in amazing ways through Peter in Acts chapter 5. Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Luke tells us did great signs and wonders among the people. Philip in Acts chapter 8 is miraculously moved from one place to another. Dreams are had in Acts that bring about the change of direction of the gospel, and prison doors are miraculously burst open. And another opportunity gets for Paul to grab a snake, and he's bitten and he doesn't die. He's not affected by the poison. Miracles and signs and wonders are throughout the book of Acts and very common in the... Sorry, I actually want to take that back. I'm not going to say very common in the early church because I don't know, because I wasn't there. And actually, all the things that we read in Acts, while they happen, they're almost like the greatest hits, if you like. So there could well be a week where there's no miraculous deeds happen. I want to caution against this idea, even though we are a charismatic church and believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, believe in healing and believe in miracles, that we do not experience these every single day of our lives. That would be a there'll be a false expectation. However, what I do want to do is raise expectation that we should be seeing more and want to see more as we eagerly desire and pursue all of the spiritual gifts. And so I do not want to create a false expectation or say that this was the common everyday experience and everything was breaking out all over the place. What I also want to say is that perhaps we are not seeing as much as we could do. People are now mulling that over in their head. We also know, and this is the fact, that healings and miracles were a large part of Jesus' ministry on earth. Not just he performing these, but also in Luke 9 and Luke 10, we see the 12 sent out, and then we see the 70 or the 72, depending on your translation, sent out as well. And what were they were to do? But they were to heal in the name of Jesus. They were to cast out the demonic in the name of Jesus and bring the kingdom. But these gifts are challenging and difficult to speak on because questions and struggles will inevitably be in this room. Why are we not seeing more healings? Why, when we pray for someone, are they not healed? But if we could see more miraculous, then people would come. More people would come to Jesus. You know, if we could just see it, or if you could just show me, then I would believe. Well, I share those questions. And we acknowledge them in the room. I do want to say this. Plenty of people saw the miracles of Jesus and didn't believe. The miracles of Jesus are actually never questioned by those who saw them. The source of the power behind the miracle is questioned, but the miracle themselves are never questioned. They just don't like the power behind it, and they don't like the authority in which Jesus acted. But the miracles themselves were not questioned. And so as we sit with those questions in the room, we also perhaps have to ask, what is my experience and when is the last time I've prayed expecting to see the miraculous? When's the last time I prayed for something miraculous? When's the last time I've prayed for someone to be healed? And am I desiring these gifts? Or perhaps have I operated in these gifts and I've just let them lie dormant for a while? Perhaps as you have journeyed in faith and life just gets to you, doesn't it? And maybe it's been 3, 4, 5 times you've prayed for someone and nothing's happening. And maybe you've just taken that and just going, I'm just a bit tired, actually. I want to be real with this, right? Because it's hard to be full of energy and buzz all the time for all of these things. Let's be real. But is this the morning? Is this the morning? Is this the season that God has us in for this time, for this nation, for this land, for our families, for our neighborhoods? Is this the season to now start to stir up again? I would suggest so. And first of all, as we deal with this morning, I want to say this. We need the gifts of healing. We need the gifts of healing. Because there are so many parts of the body of Christ today that need healed. There's so much in our body as the body of Christ that needs healed. So much of the church needs the power of God to touch and heal us. So yes, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we believe in the gifts of healing. Why? Because we need it. Helen Collins, in her book, Charismatic Christianity, I would say it's the best book on the Holy Spirit and the gifts that I've ever read. There she is. It's absolutely fantastic. She says this, we are broken by others, by trauma, pain and disease, and healing asserts that we are broken by these things and systemic sins such as racism, sexism, corporate greed, environmental destruction, which causes people to be marginalized and oppressed without access to healthcare, safe housing, clean water, food, education, or employment. And healing also shows an awareness of an ongoing spiritual warfare and rebellion that breaks out in human lives and communities. We need this to be a thing today, church. We need this to be for today. I think it's a big need. And I think we need to be a people, a church here at CFC that prays for those gifts, pursues the giver of the gift of healing, that asks and seeks and knocks, And if we don't see what we want to see, it won't be for lack of asking, seeking, and knocking. How is your asking and your seeking and your knocking? So what are these gifts of healing and what do they look like? The word in the Greek is charismata e amaton. And it's important to note that Paul writes about these gifts in the plural. This would suggest a few things. One, that there are a range of issues that can be dealt with these gifts. It's not the gift of healing, but it's gifts of healing. And so there are a range of things that can be dealt with because these are gifts of healing. I've had the privilege of sitting in the restorative prayer sessions that Charlotte has spoken about over these last number of months. I have seen the gifts of healing in operation. I have seen people who are oppressed set free. I have seen lies that have lived in people and spirits that have lived within people who have told them things that are not true, gone in the name of Jesus. I have seen chains broken in the name of Jesus. And so these gifts are a divine ability given to God through someone to bring healing to someone else. A divine ability given to someone that God gives to them, through them, and used to heal and help someone else. I think what it also does whenever we talk about gifts of healing, it takes away this idea that someone is a healer. Right? So like the danger of this, so we talk about the shadow side of the danger of this is I have the gift of healing and what happens or what I've seen happen is that person then becomes a healer. I would caution against that. I would say that you can operate in the gifts of healing. But I think when someone has personal ownership and creates a position from the gifting, we need to be cautious. And so what I love about the gifts of healing is the inclusivity of that. And depending on the needs in the church, various people can move in various gifts of healing and bring restoration in those different areas. It's interesting to read about this gift in the church outside of our context. And what I mean by our context is the rational post-Christian West. We live in a highly rationalistic post-enlightenment culture, which has a real issue with anything spiritual. Sorry, doesn't have an issue then in spiritual, but has an issue with anything of Christ. Don't mind admitting that there's something going on in the spiritual, but we struggle. We're very rationalistic. We don't really embrace things that we don't like to understand. Helen Collins, in her research into the church in South America, writes this: most prayers for healing are not prayed by sensational televangelists, but by ordinary, impoverished people seeking to extend care to their family and friends. Healing is linked with empowerment. She says this: for poor Pentecostals in Colombia, even the possibility to pray for healing can restore agency, give dignity, and increase solidarity. So the beautiful thing about the gifts of healing and in the context too that they were giving is that they brought everybody in. Jesus, whenever he operated in the gifts of healing, he brought community to people. People were so often on the outside, unclean, impure. They were thought to be outside, not worth including in. And healing in that context is always about bringing people into community. That's interesting to note as well. Outside of our post-enlightenment, Christian, rational, Western culture, as you read in Helen's book and in other books that I'm going to refer to just in a moment, there's a lot going on. Even this morning, speaking to Jim Patterson in Cafe Church. Hey, Jim, down there. He's talking about what the Lord is doing in Tajikistan. He said it's like Acts. It's like the Acts of the Apostles. So we've got to be cautious as well that just because this is not our experience in this particular small part of the world, that does not mean to say that God is not moving in powerful ways in these gifts in others' parts of the world, and quite significantly so. And we must also celebrate that and be aware of it. The problem sometimes can be that we just see Christianity through our own lens. Christianity is so much bigger than us. before moving on to how do we know if you may have this gift or would you like to operate in this gift, what does it look like in the context? I think it's important to say that Jesus brought his reign to this earth. We pray that, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And that's about God's reign. It's about inviting it here on the earth as in the heavens, right? So we believe that. That's what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And through his Spirit, we continue to bring the kingdom. And we continue to pray for these things to be seen on earth as it is in heaven. And that includes healing. It is part of the greater works than these that we are called to do by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 12. And I have the permission of somebody to share this. I'm going to share this story. I met with Andy Smith this week. He's the pastor at Belfast City Vineyard. And his wife Harmony has been going through a lot of pain and difficulty over the last number of years. And they've been praying and praying and praying and praying for her healing. Remember, it's a pastor of a vineyard church who massively believe in the power of healing. And there's slow improvement. Nothing massively shifting year after year. Except the other week, when Harmony was able to be prayed for by her daughter and somebody else at a conference they were at, not the main person on stage, just part of the prayer team ministering, and a huge leap forward in healing for her. Where she was able to jump and praise and worship and bounce up and down and worship God with her whole being, and her body was in a lot of pain prior to that. And subsequent to that, there's been no reversal. Amen? See, so even though we don't see it, you know, you're working. And it'll be so easy for Andy and just to get discouraged and put that down and keep that gift, that book on the shelf without praying. And even for his daughter, remember what he said about inclusivity and empowerment and the involvement of the body in this? And her own daughter gets to pray for her mom and we see healing there. Craig Keener's work on miracles. If you want to dive deeper into this, this is a super read. This is really worth reading. And if you want to raise your faith and expectation in this area, it's a must read. He spent 15 years chronicling and documenting healings all around the world. He's collated them into a book. All of them, bar one, are medically verified. Medically verified and researched. This is not just this guy's a serious theologian. He's not just a willy-nilly guy who's making stuff up. All medically verified. Sources are all given at the bottom of each of the pages where you can go and check them out. It's fascinating. One of the first stories in the book is of a young woman on her deathbed, completely paralyzed from multiple sclerosis. She heard Jesus' voice calling her to rise and walk. She was instantly healed so thoroughly that she didn't even have to contend with atrophied muscles. All three of her doctors have confirmed the account in writing, laying their own reputations on the line. She lived for 40 more years with no reoccurrence, passing away only recently from COVID, much to the sorrow of those who knew her. Craig also goes on to say this, in terms of patterns, most healings and other miracles recounted in the book appear in the context of people praying for them to happen. Let me read that again. In terms of patterns, most healings and other miracles recounted in the book appear in the context of people praying for them to happen. Edna Rowe came down this morning to me and Edna asked me about my daughter, how's she doing? And this story I told a while ago, how's she progressing in that area? And we have our own journey with miracles and children. But Edna says to me, she goes, how's Karen? I says, and how are you? She goes, I'm great. The doctor said, give me 7.5 pages of side effects that I'll be getting from these tablets. Not one. I don't have one. Amen. And we had a joy of praying for Edna as elders last Tuesday night, where we prayed for loads of people at the back of the room. Some were healed, some were not. But you know what? It's not because we are not asking, praying, and seeking and knocking. And we will continue to ask, pray, seek, and knock. Because that's what we're called to do. And we pray believing. It shouldn't surprise anyone, Craig says, that they happen more often among people who trust God enough to ask. Recognizing that he is able to act And also the most dramatic miracles happen most, though not by any means exclusively, on the cutting edge of unevangelized areas, a setting similar to the one in the Gospel and Acts. As in the Gospels, healing also often follows persistent or desperate faith. But also, as in the Gospels, initial or deepened faith sometimes follows God's special divine action. There are cases today where people have to show their great faith by trusting God despite not experiencing healing right away, or even in this life at all. Indeed, God's power is displayed especially in weakness, most visibly in what for a time seemed the triumph of evil at Jesus' cross. Some of the people who've witnessed the most miracles prayed for them for months or years before they began to see them. Maybe so that they would learn persistent faith, or maybe so that they would learn it is God's grace, not we who are, that makes them happen. I want to say healing is also not experienced in full now. We don't see everyone we healed prayed for, but we will. And we don't see everyone healed in the way that we pray for now, but the direction of our travel and our journey where Jesus is leading us to is to a time where healing will be complete, where the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the nations, and there will be no more death, pain, or sorrow. That is on its way to us. And I believe the gifts of healing are like signposts to remind us that we are on a path where one day we won't need them. That makes sense? Like when you're driving to Dublin, right? And you see like you're 100K away, and then you're like 90K, and then you're 70K, and then you've got the toll and you've got to pay and whatever. But then you're like, you know, or it's maybe you're an apple green person. You're like, I'm not the first one. And you never can remember the name of it. Right? Is it Castle Bellingham or is it Lusk? You know. But there's signposts to tell us that we're on the way somewhere. And I think the gifts of healing are that. And so when every healing happens, it's actually a reminder that one day we're going to a place where we're not going to need it. Who has these gifts of healing? Love is the first thing. Like, you've got to have serious levels of love and compassion. If you're sitting here this morning and you know you've operated in the gifts of healing, you love. As Jesus looked out and had deep compassion, and you've a deep desire to see God alleviate physical and emotional problems in people, and a willingness to be used by God to do so. A willingness to be used by God to do so. And you're bold. You have a boldness. And you're sensitive to God moving in you and filling you with compassion for others. The gifts of healing. As we move on this morning, the last few minutes we're going to spend looking at the gifts of miraculous powers. The energemata dunamion, as it says in the Greek. I think there's a close alignment here with the gift of healing. Peter Wagner writes in his book, "The gift of miracles is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to perform powerful acts that are perceived by observers to have altered the ordinary course of nature." Sometimes people get a wee bit like, oh, miracles, you know. I want to call this out, guys. We are a miracles people. You cannot read this book from literally the first page to the last page and not understand that ours is a miraculous story. You cannot follow Christ. I'm going to be bold. You cannot follow Christ and not be a believer in the miraculous. The whole thing's miraculous. It's miraculous from beginning and it's miraculous to the end. I mean, we're coming up to Christmas. If you want to know about miracles, read the Christmas story. Like what? Let's just be honest. This is a book of miracles from beginning to end. So why are we pausing now? The biblical story is one of signs and wonders, where nothing is there and then God speaks and universes are formed. I mean, are we not catching that the miraculous nature of the God who we follow and serve? Jesus' birth was miraculous. His life was miraculous. His death was miraculous. His resurrection was miraculous. His ascension was miraculous. And his return is going to be miraculous too. C.S. Lewis writes this, one of our own. He says, miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in large letters, sometimes just too large for us to see. It is said of Lewis that his whole vision of life was such that the natural and the supernatural seem inseparably combined. Romans chapter 15, Paul writes this, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem to round about the Illyricum, I have preached the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, it says in Galatians 3:5, and works miracles among you, does he do that by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? And works miracles among you. Miraculous, I want to say this, can work and be experienced in loads of different ways. Back in April, we had a couple who were planting a church in Ballinagh. Do you remember the Baileys, David and Cheryl? Yeah? So they sat up here. That very morning, their journey was replicated by an older couple who randomly come to CFC every so often, right? So this couple who had planted in these two places down south, they were there now. This couple who just came in this morning, they didn't know they were going to be here. They had done the exact same journey 30, 40 years ago. They were sitting in this room, still hurting from the pain of it and not seeing what they wanted or thought that they would see. Then they hear what God is doing now in the exact same places and what is happening now. And can I just say this? Praise God for the miracle. That is a miracle. What are the I don't like that phrase, what are the chances? Do you know what I mean? But come on. They then come experience healing from the whole journey. And now today, the church that they were talking about planting have their own building in Ballinagh called Harbour Community Church. And they're meeting there this morning. They were planning to start the church in their living room, but you know what? There are too many people to start in the living room. That's miraculous. So miracles can happen and be experienced in loads and loads of different ways. We as a family had the joy of going to South Africa 2 summers ago. And myself and a girl called Hannah and a guy called Jack, we were sent, as all the team were, to a mall in a place called George. It's on the Western Cape. And we were tasked with the mission of going and just praying and seeing what God was going to do. And as we were praying on the way to the mall, Jack, who was in our group, said, I think we've got to pray for someone in a South African rugby jersey. There's something significant about a South African rugby jersey. I was driving going, mate, it's South Africa. They all wear rugby jerseys. And they all wore South Africa rugby jerseys. Like, we're going to be praying for 50,000 people, right? Could we find a person in that whole mall wearing a South Africa rugby jersey? No. Couldn't find one. Has the Lord not spoken? Is Jack not hearing? What's going on? Well, we're heading out, and a kid starts to choke quite violently, and his mother's quite worried. So she's there, and she's hitting him. Jack and Hannah and myself go over. We all start to do a bit of hitting, a bit of whatever, you know, trying to help the family in distress. Out comes the sweet that he's been choking on. Out comes the vomit all over his jacket. He's distressed. His mum's distressed. Hannah gets water. Jack goes to get the cloth to tidy up the mess. And I stay with the family. I don't like the messy stuff, right? And the kid takes off his top because it's all covered in vomit. And he's wearing a South Africa rugby jersey. So we share with the mother. We share the story. She's like, oh, talking about a specific moment. God reveals and purposes things in place to be there to help the kid with his choking, to clean him up. But deeper than all of those amazing things, just to let his mum know, God sees and knows them. We're randomers from Northern Ireland, or at a random mall in a random place, but God has us there. See, you can sit and you can say, I have miracles, I'm skeptical. I mean, Northern Irish people, right? Cynical and skeptical, right? Let's own it. I was there. That's what happened. You can tell me, you can talk to me theology. You can say, oh, this and that and do and do and do. I'm going, dude, I was there. When I left, I just want to, last story about how the miraculous can work in different ways. So I left my teaching profession 7 years ago and to come to work to CFC. And at that time, like it obviously involves, you know, it involves a salary drop to do that. And that's fine. We talked it through and that was fine. That's what we were going to do. And as I left Grosvenor that June, I was given a card by somebody in staff. Now, they don't know. They didn't know what I earned. B, they didn't know what I was going to earn. But the gift of cash that they gave me in that card was the exact money I would lose by my salary drop. You see, the miraculous happens in so many different ways. Have we eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are turned that we're going to receive it? Or are we just going to say, but that's just coincidence? Or that's, you know... You see, Jesus did say, didn't he, earlier on, as we referred to in John 14, 12, greater things than these you will do. Not in quality, but certainly in quantity, I think is what Jesus is saying. It comes from prayer. Craig Keener in his book says this about the miraculous. He says, they tend to happen where they are most needed. That's interesting. I think that's a good balance. They tend to happen where they're most needed. This is key, not to entertain us. And the shadow of the charismatic church is that we like to promote a miraculous story for entertainment or for some sort of like promotion of something or someone. We've got a caution against that. It's not about entertainment. And it's not to get us to neglect other resources that God has already provided. But because of the Lord's compassion for our need. I'm running out of time, but he reports some amazing stories of nature miracles that have happened in West Timor. Again, grab the book, read them. It has the potential to radically transform your thoughts and how you think about these things. As we move to a close this morning, I want to say this. God has always been a God in control of nature. It has always responded to his voice. I'd like us to think of this. Miraculous is not supernatural, but an expansion of our understanding of what is natural. A couple of guys have done serious work on this called on science and the spirit. And they say this, that rather than God breaking into nature, God sustains, infuses, and guides nature and all of creation towards its fulfillment. And so in the what we term as supernatural breaks in, what actually is happening is an expansion of our understanding of what is natural and the direction of travel that we are moving in, similar to how we're moving with healing. Does that make sense? Are we giving a thumbs up if that makes sense? So rather, it's not an inbreaking and destruction of natural order, but rather an expanding of our understanding of what natural means. Because we are on a journey to a completion and restoration of all nature under his voice and reign and command. You see, creation has, does, and always will respond to the voice of the Creator. The gift of working miracles is available to those, and again, the boldness is there. I want to say this too, that you can cope with taking risk and a sense of being filled with desire to see freedom come to those who are oppressed. It's a compassion-driven gift as well. As the band come, as we move to a close this morning, I do want to just acknowledge that it's not like this morning you're going to go out perhaps and just, you know, up and down the Belmont Road, you're going to be, you know, expecting miracles to break out left, right, and center. I don't want to create a false expectation. But I also think we need to posture our eyes and our hearts and our ears to hear what God is saying and to be bold and to step in where we think and sense he's calling us. And here's the thing. That happened 2 years ago in South Africa, and it's amazing. And it's so, so easy just for me to go into Tesco without asking the Lord, is there someone there for me to pray for? It's so easy just to get on with our lives and just to forget that the Lord can expand our understanding of the natural in our everyday. And so while I don't want to create a false expectation, I also want to raise expectation. Because there are chains that need broken in people's lives. There are illnesses in people's lives that need to go. There's stuff in people's lives that needs to be removed. There's freedom to come. And there's times whenever it's about perseverance and perseverance and perseverance. And I feel the Lord said earlier on, you know, there's people in this room and it's the gifts of healing and the gifts of working the miraculous have become like dusty books. Just put in a shelf and they've been covered with dust. And I saw a hand come and shake the dust off. And what was beautiful as it was opened, it was beautiful again. And you were reminded about the beauty of it again. If you have operated in the gifts of healing, I'm going to ask you to be bold, and the gifts of the miraculous, would you stand? If you've operated in these before, would you stand? Thank you so much for your bravery. Church, we're gonna gather around these people. Is there anybody in particular with that book? It's become a dusty book. Is that anybody? Am I hearing? Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna activate the church now as body as the rest of us stand to worship. Can we also just stand and get around these people? If you don't know them, ask their permission as you lay a hand on and pray for them. Somebody here, yeah, get beside Jeremy here just as well. Again, if your hands are up if you stood, and now we've just lost all the standers. Where are you? Over here. Somebody there, yep, okay, cool. Yeah, we pray for an activation to take place right now in this room. We pray for your moving Holy Spirit. We pray where there has been disappointment and where there has been disillusionment, where there has been tiredness. Holy Spirit, breathe energy, I pray, and breathe new life again into these gifting areas in these people's lives. Holy Spirit, I ask you to release again a fresh outpouring, indwelling of your Spirit, particularly around the area of healing, the gifts of healing, and the gift of miraculous powers. We ask for a deep release of love within the hearts of these people who are gifted in this area. And we ask that they would continue to seek the giver of the gifts and not the gifts. They would seek you and follow you. The call again on your lives as you stand this morning to receive prayer and to say, yes, here I am, send me again. The command from Jesus is the same, follow me. The command of Jesus to you this morning is to follow me. And Lord, as these brothers and sisters follow you, I pray they would stick close to you. I pray again for eyes to see what you see and ears to hear what you're saying and hearts that are turned towards you. I pray for lives that are postured to be led where you want them to go, to bring healing and freedom and release and power where you want them to go and into the situations that you want them to go to, Lord. Come have your way, Lord Jesus. as your kingdom continues to come on earth and as your will is done here as it is in the heavens. Amen.